This is Rebecca Lowe, or Rebecca Lua, if you listen to Suboptimal Radio, and you are listening to Men in Blazers on the NBC Sports Network.
It's unbelievable!
Queens Park Races.
Here comes the magic spray.
Let's watch some football. Now everybody, come on everybody.
We have a supporter striding onto the pitch.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go, go, go. Let's watch some football.
How I imagine my funeral to be.
From the crap part of the meatpacking district. From the crap part of the High Line. Welcome to the Men in Blazers Live podcast.
Oh, Davo, it's amazing to be here.
It is
amazing.
It's not
just any podcast.
Yeah, no, it's a big, big, big podcast. Rog, it's a pre-Derby Day podcast, Rog. Not for me.
We'll chat about that, but it's also the 2015 Night of the Golden Blazer!
It is.
We're going to give it to Bob Lee again in a minute.
Yeah.
It is an amazing night for us. This, if you've not been here before, we're not hyperbolic, are we, David?
No, never. You're not. Ever.
This is the most sensational blazer in sports that is not presented in a cabin.
Yeah, it's very true. It's very, very true. Yes, thank you, GFOPs, for joining us here at the Highline Ballroom. It's a big night, a packed show, Rog. A shocking number of optimal guests. It's pretty amazing. 3 days ago, we had no one. And now we have people, actually bipeds, we have joining us here. They've agreed to join us on stage from one of NBC's football soccer pundits to one of the more physically intimidating men in the NFL. We'll also have a series of musical performance, including a soccer theme song penned by a GFOP who is in the audience tonight.
It's Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Yeah. Big Orient fan. Oh, that's Julian Lloyd Webber. Okay, and of course, the reason we've gathered here tonight will present, as Rog said, the Golden Blazer to an absolute footballing legend and one of our personal heroes. Rog, who are we raising money here tonight? Who are we raising money for?
Well, I'll just say, it's amazing to be here. Many of you have flown from across the country to be in our loving bosom.
New Jersey.
New Jersey, bloody hell.
It's very difficult to fly across the Hudson River, Rog. It's just difficult.
I mean, it's a joy to celebrate everything that is gorgeous about American football culture with you guys here tonight. It's also amazing because proceeds from tonight will be donated to the National Coalition Against Domestic Violence.
Yeah.
So thank you very much, everybody. But Davo, we almost didn't make it, let's be honest.
We almost didn't make it. It's amazing. 2.5 hours ago, I called Rog, and actually got a series of phone calls. The big man went down 2.5 hours ago. I passed out for 90 seconds. Seriously, I've got a bruise on the top of my bald head.
Julian Edelman style.
Yeah. It actually, It was actually, it's a bit more Balotelli. I went down with just as little skill as he's been showing for Liverpool. Anyway, I might have squealed a little as well. I went down, but I've made a recovery. I feel like I'm bouncing back. You know, Rog, what's important is bounce back ability. But the amazing thing about it, we foreshadowed this on the podcast yesterday in a piece that we edited out that we may now have to go and put back in.
This was almost a Golden Blazers celebration slash wake tonight.
Yeah.
But we were taping the pod the other day.
Wait a minute, but what did you promise? If I died on stage, what did you say?
I said that I would light your body on fire and then jump on it.
We're always here to entertain.
I'm the world's first Jewish Viking.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I also believe very much. I'm not sure what I feel about God, but I do believe in Morrissey. And he said, to die by your side, well, the pleasure and privilege is mine. And I'm going to pretend that that's how I feel. But the other day, Davo said to me, when we were taping the pod, he said, what did you say, Davo?
I said, if I got hit by a bus, who would you replace me with? It's just one of those moments where I just never asked Rog the question, what would happen to Men in Blazers if I got hit by a bus?
This was yesterday.
Roger's first response?
I'd probably get 12 to 15 years for vehicular homicide. It's called foreshadowing, people.
He would kill me in a far more creative way. There's no doubt about it.
So it's been a bit dark because I almost had to... Don't worry, it's not going to happen. I almost had to come on stage solo tonight and read you Spalding Gray's Swimming to Cambodia. Do it as like a solo monologue. Billy, what's his name? Billy Thingy, 700 Sundays. What's his name? Billy Crystal. Just a one-man show. Thank God Davo is here. But to cheer me up, the only way I could cheer myself up through this dark evening in which Davo, we almost lost Davo, and he may see the light a little bit. Don't go towards the light.
Occasionally, I'm seeing my grandfather right there calling me to the light.
The only thing that can cheer me up is to wallow. I mean, we're all going to die. And my favourite part of the Oscars...
We rarely start the TV show like this.
My favourite part of the Oscars is when the Oscars do their one true human moment. And they look at those they've lost in the year.
Yeah.
So GFOPs, Davo's here, thank God.
Or
thank Morrissey. Let's commune for a moment before we start in an appropriate fashion with those we have lost in 2015. JW, cue the tape.
How do I say goodbye to what we have? The good time that made a life.
You can score too early sometimes.
I thought we'd get.
I think you have to understand. I think you have to understand. I think you have to understand.
Okay, Rog.
The answer to David's question, who would I replace him with? It's probably Harry Redknapp or Neil Warnock. But the honest truth is...
Producer John Johnson, JJ,
Tony Award winner.
Slumming it with us. Go ahead, Rog.
Arthur Miller would only work with JJ.
It's true.
Yeah.
Who are you replacing me with?
Probably, I'd go for Warnock. I like the way he pulls his pants up, baby.
Yeah, Mrs. Doubtfire. Okay, Rog, to the football. Let's open up a can of this lovely restorative. Thank you. Cheers, everyone. Cheers.
Look, I am.
To tweed.
To the Golden Blazer of 2015. Okay, please, Rod, let whoever it is fit Bob Lee's jacket.
Okay, Rod, so the big man went down. We just looked at who we lost this year. But frankly, you're not looking so good yourself over the past couple of days. And I think we know why.
Derby Day's 48 hours away. Derby Day is the time. For those who don't know much about football, you all know who Thomas More is. And his quote, "From my rotting body, flowers shall grow. I am in them, and that is eternity. Feel so." It's Derby Day. By the way, Harry Redknapp, I adore Harry. He's less a football manager and more just a symbol that you can still be utterly mediocre and rise to the top today, which I find incredibly gratifying. And we put out the hashtag.
Yeah.
Harry2MLS.
Yeah, and MLS.
And then I had his agent call me up. I need to read this statement. Harry Redknapp's agent has said, "Harry's preference is to find one of the few Premier League clubs he has not yet been fired from in disgrace, so he can set about reducing them to financial ruin and complete the set."
But having said that, weirdly, we love the man.
Yeah, we love Harry.
It's odd.
We've been spending 27 years now trying to work out what he's stuffed in his jowls. It's the one secret the Premier League writers will not reveal to us. But I'll say Derby Day is like... I don't know how to explain it to you, David. You're a Chelsea fan. You don't know what loss, mourning,
derbies.
And despair
but, and yet, like. And yet, Everton performed fantastically in the derby at Liverpool early this season. The Jagielka goal, Rog. Who can forget that Jags goal? The half volley screaming in to the top right corner.
I'm objective. I'm not just talking about Everton here tonight. But one of the joys about communing with so many GFOPs is we've probably got the most knowledgeable room of football connoisseurs in America.
Yeah.
So I'd like to, if you'll allow me, undergo a social science experiment.
Oh, I love social science.
In the spirit of Philip Zimbardo's infamous Stanford prisoner experiment.
Yeah.
I mean, I just can't stand the suspense of Derby weekend. And so Paul Carr taught me upstairs. He's coming on soon. He taught me how...
He may or may not blow our mind.
How he computes his statistics scientifically. And he taught me, and I'm going to go through it with you now. This is how Paul Carr works out his percentages. So, 7:45, Saturday morning, Arsenal visit Spurs. Do we have any Arsenal fans here? Do we have any Spurs fans here? Shalom.
I think a significant question is Chris Christie here right now? That would be.
So here's the experiment. If you're confident that Arsenal are going to win, just shout out Santi Cazorla in a minute.
Yeah.
And if you're concerned about your brittle defending and nipple exposure, just shout Chris Christie in three. 1, 2, 3. Undecided. Let's go from a Spurs perspective. If you're terrified, shout Soldado. And if you're confident, shout out Real Madrid's Harry Kane.
Okay, wait.
1, 2, 3. David?
I think Chris Christie won both, weirdly. That was the oddest thing. That was the odd part of that.
There's another game on
Saturday.
You can't
predict the results in social science.
There's another game.
Yep.
Yeah! Liverpool and Everton. Liverpool fans, if you are confident, just shout in three, D Studge. And if you are fearful, just scream Super Mario. 1, 2, 3.
Wow, D Studge won that one.
Everton fans, let's put confidence or pessimism aside for the second. Just make me feel better. Everyone in three, just shout, not in the face. 1, 2, 3.
Not in the face!
Oh, that makes you feel better, doesn't it? Does it?
I feel numb. I'm ready.
What do you want to happen? Do you want an Everton win, Rog, at long last? Do you want to lose massively 5-0 as you predicted?
No, I actually...
You predicted 4-0 and then you modified it.
When Aaron Lennon signed on loan and I moved up to 5-0.
Yeah. Or... You usually, the only thing that seem to give you pleasures these days are goalless draws.
All I say is I'm incredibly braced. I want to enjoy tonight. I believe in living in the present.
Yeah.
I've been watching a lot of Richard Simmons videos recently. I believe in living in the present. Let's live tonight. Let's enjoy together. Let's raise a glass to celebrating all that is good and wonderful. And let's just repress any prospect of 48 hours time. I'm going to have a lot of sleep of the poppy between now
and
then.
It's going to be dark. And then we're going to give away a golden blazer, Rog. So that's going to be an amazing night to cap it off. Okay.
But we're not just giving away a golden blazer. We had because we are on, we call this Broadway. Mostly because we're taping this pod.
This is the really crap part of Broadway.
People who are not in New York don't know whether we are or technically aren't on Broadway.
Yeah.
We both hate Broadway, don't we, David?
We don't enjoy the theatre, and yet we love John Johnson. It's very odd. Okay, time for our first musical performance of the night, Rog. A tune that carries the title, which Defying Clinzy.
By the way, these songs have been written by GFOPs. We asked you to compete for this custom Xbox by our friends at EA Sports. It says on the side, Men in Blazers to Tweed. There's only two of them in the world. In response, I mean, unbelievably, the correlation between Men in Blazers fans and, as I said, Andrew Lloyd Webber fans is pretty one-to-one.
It's almost one circle.
We got
an
incredible amount of entries. We picked tonight the three finest. We're going to play. John Johnson just loves producing these songs. And really, if football was a musical, we're going to get a little taste of how bad that musical would be tonight, right?
Okay,
David?
So the first song, it's called Defying Clinzy. It's written by GFOP Aaron Butterfield of Syracuse, New York.
Faces that we see are not just aging stars like Vila Kanka and Stevie G. Homegrown or German heroes returning to our soil, ignoring Jurgen's wishes, blood surely to boil.
It's a bit like being at the Super Bowl when Marvin Gaye sang the national anthem. That
similar.
Was beautiful.
Very similar. Okay, Rog, you ready for a guest?
I'm ready for a guest.
Okay. Our first guest this evening, this is hilarious, is one of the world's most fashion-forward football pundits. But there is more to him, Rog, than his ornate tie knots and his perfectly coiffed hair. Before entering broadcasting, he plied his trade on football fields across America as a star for the Columbus Crew and Los Angeles Galaxy.
The Columbus Crew!
Yeah. and Los Angeles Galaxy and the mighty Von Trapps. I had no idea he played football, Rog. No idea. Ladies and gentlemen, let us welcome to the stage El Serpiente himself, Kyle Martino. So much taller in real life than you appear on television.
I'm wearing heels.
Good.
By the way, can we just for a second, 5 hours ago, Devo passed out face first on the ground.
Yeah,
and he's here right now. If we could just... I mean, I would pour... The bucket's not there anymore. I was going to pour some out for you. Yeah, but when he came today, it was just depressing as a nationwide halftime commercial. You're like the grown-up kid in a commercial.
It was. Except Rog couldn't take the smile off his face. He loved it. It's the best thing that's ever happened to
Rog
him.
Rog thought he was doing the show
Rog
by himself.
Rog thought he was getting the show by himself. It would have been amazing. Would have been good.
Devo, he has risen.
Yeah, he has.
And thank God for that. Kyle, you have just come back from Phoenix. You're at the Super Bowl.
Yes.
Where NBC kind of crossed the streams. They had you and Bobby.
Yeah.
The two Bobbies.
It was the first time with the Robbies.
They evoluted it.
The universe did not collapse.
I've never seen an orgy live broadcast on television before. Found it a little awkward to be watching.
I was on top.
But you...
They might not know it.
I've got to say...
How does that work with... I don't know.
I don't know. You'll have to ask Bobbly. But... The honest truth is, the MVP for the Super Bowl for me, I think we've talked about this, it was raining heavily in Phoenix. They should only have the Super Bowl in New York from now on for good weather.
Yeah.
But it was really, because it poured down with rain, it was really your hair. It sparkled throughout the broadcast.
I mean, it takes at least 4 hours to attach it to my scalp.
Yeah.
And hurricane winds, sleet. Stands up. I mean, there's going to be...
It's so dense. It's like a chinchilla.
It's like a chia pet, really.
Denser.
Yeah.
It's a really amazing
stuff. It
doesn't
get wet. It's like duck feathers. It just
amazing.
Doesn't...
So
the
jealous.
Water doesn't penetrate.
So jealous.
I can't believe I didn't bring a tie. I was going to spend the 5 minutes tying a tie.
Yeah.
And showing how to make an obnoxiously large tie knot by accident.
It's okay. You can look like crap. It's okay. Davo said in his introduction, we forgot... ever that you were a footballer.
I know, me too.
Let's JW, cue the tape.
Oh no.
Let's watch.
No!
This portion of the match presented by Gatorade. Into the box it comes, Martino! He lashed it in! Kyle Martino!
Bit surprising, but good ball in. Plays it right over the top, takes it out of the air first time, goes near post. Tell you, that's a good finish right there. Great ball in by Albright. Just sits there, puts it over the top of Moreno, and here he comes. Keeps his run going and just hits it with the instep right off the post.
Like to see Rebecca Lowe do that.
Yeah.
That's what they call a meaty Connecticut left foot.
Amazing goal.
My hair looked awful in that.
Where were you aiming?
Far post, for sure. I actually was passing that, if we're being completely honest.
It was Hazard's goal at the weekend. You were
I was celebrating a great assist.
You had a trial in 2006 at Dutch Eredivisie side.
With Wicked, the full company?
Yeah. Otherwise known as NEC Nijmegen. No contract. You then went to Leeds United.
Yeah.
You dodged a bullet there.
Yeah, big time.
What do you think about Jurgen Klinsmann's kind of like urging, begging, beseeching, commanding... US players to go to such beautiful, kind of like gorgeous parts of the world, Stoke,
Sunderland,
Tottenham.
Yeah. Well, I wonder if he's satisfied that Michael Bradley went abroad. You know, I mean, he went to Canada. I mean, it's you know, his aspirations are up there.
I think he's probably happier that Bob Bradley
the whole
went
thing
abroad.
The whole thing is kind of, you know, Jermaine Defoe went back to that retirement league, the Premier League, and it's the whole thing is really funny because if you really look at Europe or playing in MLS or whatever league it is, The reality is it's different for absolutely every single player. It's completely situational. And I look at two players that went to Fulham, for instance, as a good example. Two guys that I play with, one, is there a Fulham fan in the house? I heard one guy go.
Yeah, he's here.
It's Brian McBride in the audience.
Yeah. McBreeze, you here? Brian McBride goes to Fulham, gets a bar named after him. It was sort of the latter parts of his career, and it ended up rejuvenating the end of his career. He was absolutely one of the guys that was a maverick, trailblazer, that proved we had more than just goalkeepers that could go over and survive there. And then another guy that goes over there, Eddie Johnson, go broad. You know, you're supposed to go to the best possible league, and it almost ended up ruining his soccer career completely. He almost never played again. And it was coming back to Major League Soccer that got him back into the U.S. picture. So it just depends. And if I look at Jurgen saying you have to aspire to be at the highest level, I think to myself, well, basically the entire England roster plays in the Premier League, and you guys can't do any better at a World Cup than we can.
Well,
so I don't know what that means.
This is all turned into one slightly awkward promo for Sam Adams.
Yeah.
By the way, drink Guinness responsibly.
Yeah.
Yeah. What
have
was
you finished
point?
Pandering, Kyle? Are we done? Okay, good.
I was gonna tie it around my neck. It's too small.
You can do. You're not a footballer.
No, not anymore, at least. Well,
you. Have remade yourself as a Premier League pundit, but first you stopped off on Wall Street in this very city.
Yeah, I caused the financial crisis.
I mean, being a broadcaster is good. I'd say being Gordon Gekko probably better. I only watched the first 50 minutes of that film.
Doesn't end well.
What made you decide you wanted to be a broadcaster and not a kind of Goliath that is astride the whole world, Kyle?
I mean, when my soccer career ended, I had two really bad injuries. I tore one of my hips before the 2002 World Cup, and then the other one before 2006 World Cup. And finally, my grandmother and I had something in common. We both had both of our hips redone.
Huh.
And it was a bonding moment. It felt good. But when I finished my career...
Let's talk about Brad Friedel. He calls him grandma.
I was 28, and I was bitter. My career never got close to what I thought it could become. I felt that I'd be playing till I was, you know, in my mid-30s, and I had a lot of soccer left to play, and it was all I ever wanted to be, was a soccer player. So my whole identity was wrapped up in it, and when it was taken away from me so quickly, I was so nostalgic about it, and it made me feel so bitter that I just wanted to get away from the game completely. And, you know, I thought I could make a lot of money on Wall Street. And I probably made $20,000 the first year, and the markets collapsed, and it was partly because of me. And but getting away from the game was exactly what I needed to sort of reinvent myself and reestablish my love for the game in a completely different way. I'm a fan now again. I'm not a guy that plays. I'm not a guy on the field. And being able to cover the game is such a amazing and just an honor bestowed upon me that I'm so grateful for, that every weekend when I go in, I'm basically all of us. I'm all the GFOPs that just am so lucky to be the one with the microphone that gets to sit there.
Well,
next
we're
to
also lucky that you're the one with the microphone, Kyle. You are a phenomenal broadcaster.
Oh,
you're a phenomenal analyst. You really are. You really are. NBC's production, and this isn't just because we work there. I would actually say it's the reason why we do work there. NBC's production.
95% because we work there.
Yeah. NBC's production of the Premier League has been just outstanding. When?
Oh, thanks, guys.
When did you realize on that set that it was working? When did you realize? Because you've been around. You've been a team member. You've been around teamwork. You've been around team chemistry.
Yeah.
You've also been around some broadcasting, frankly, that wasn't that
crap.
Good. Yeah, it was a bit crap. When did you realize it worked?
You played for the Columbus Crew.
And why? When did you realize it worked, and why does it work?
Funny enough, I realized it was going to work before we even went on air. There is such a chemistry with the group, and Rebecca and the Wobbies are...
Yes.
Can we hear it for the Wobbies?
The Wobbies are...
That was pathetic. The bloody Robbies.
Like any team, I mean, it all hangs on...
You know
on
you'll the... love Rebecca, by the way. All right, we're here for Rebecca Lowe. Rebecca Lowe!
It's... any team, really, it's all on chemistry. And you can all be in it for yourself or trying to do your best individually, but if you don't connect with the group, it's going to be difficult to really come across to fans who deserve the type of people that not only love the game but respect each other. And there's so much fun and band. I really wish everyone could be there after we go off for the first half and the hilarious. So, for instance, Harry Redknapp's gone now, which we're devastated about.
Yeah.
Because our new thing is we all try to do our best Harry Redknapp impression in halftime, and I'll give mine a shot. Hold on.
Okay.
Well, Bobby Samoa is terrific. He's just a terrific chop, chop, chop player. He's just, he can take the ball into the corner flag. He could hold it for hours. He's 90 minutes. He's chop. He's terrific. He's just... So that's basically what we do when you don't see us on air.
Gotta get a bit more nasal to do that.
Short answer, we all...
It's just noises. What about a car?
Short answer, we all feel so lucky to be doing our job, and we all love each other. We all have such a good time
together.
Yeah,
you do. No doubt about it. It's amazing work. Thank you.
Can you describe how you went through this? Kind of like, you were MLS, Kyle, to begin with.
I was MLS.
Now you're EPL, Kyle. I mean, I love Eliza Doolittle on My Fair Lady. I also love the movie G.I. Jane. Demi Moore's fabulous.
Amazing.
She has hair like this in that movie. I imagine your kind of process of becoming EPL, Kyle, was somewhere between the two of them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Classic. By the way, classic Rog question. Two possible answers, neither of which apply anywhere near to how you feel about something.
I'm surprised.
Classic Rog.
I'm surprised there wasn't a Baudelaire quote in there somewhere.
No,
just to be clear, I think it's a human question. You're either a prostitute with a heart of gold or a fallen senator with a point to prove. What other choices are there in life?
Either
you're one or the
or
other. Which one are you, Kyle?
Yeah. I mean, what was funny is initially it's really intimidating to be the only American on a foreign game that. You know, you have the insecurities of you didn't play in the Premier League, and even if you've played against these guys and you've played against the teams, being an American and not having played in the league, there is an imposter feeling, and fans are very reluctant to sort of let you be worthy of talking about the game. And part of that is kind of like, you know, the parent on the playground that their kid could be punching every other kid in the face, and they'll yell at their kid, but the second you yell at their kid, they're going to lose it on you. You're not allowed to be the one to discipline. And at first, I understand that, because loving your team and protecting your team is like being a parent. And I got that I needed to sort of prove to them that I was going to go about it the right way and give them the sort of analysis that they deserved, that every pundit should. And I was humbled and felt so great that being a kind of outsider, so to speak, everyone was so welcoming and understanding. And what I realized was a lot of that was my insecurity. I mean, you can be a Chelsea fan, you can be an Arsenal fan, you can be a Liverpool fan, you wouldn't be an Everton fan unless you're a masochist. But you can do that without living in Manchester and Liverpool and London. And the game, everyone owns it. We all have equity in this game, and it doesn't matter what team you support. If you support it with all of your heart, you earn the right to support that team. And so it's been kind of incredible to be welcomed into the sort of Premier League picture as what I considered to be sort of an outsider at the beginning.
Have you played football yet with the two Robbies?
Yeah, we did. We played with, we went and played one day with a group of, and by the way, it's not just like we're the ones on set
with amazingly manicured hair and huge tie knots. But like, there are 40 people behind the scenes who are incredible help the show so much.
Enough about them. Go on.
And we have a pickup game every now and then. We've had two of them where we go down to Chelsea Piers right next to our studios, and everyone kind of gets together and plays. And Robbie Earl hasn't been there yet because we're never there at the same time. I mean, he and I are like Michael and Janet Jackson. You never see us like at the same time. And I played with Robbie Musto one night. That guy can still crush a poor cameraman like I've never seen, and leave him heap on the ground.
Is it true that he plays even dirtier than Rebecca Lowe?
No, because Rebecca plays in her stilettos, and she can literally puncture your foot. Rebecca actually, she's an athlete. She has decent kicks. She actually used to walk across the street. I think she maybe told the story on your podcast about Crouchy on the other side of the street.
Yeah.
He was a tennis player, and he'd hold his racket, and Beck would look over and, hi, Peter Crouch.
You can tell when she's played football with these guys because she does the broadcast with her hair like Princess Leia. If she has it like that,
covering the
she's
bruises.
Just played the game. But you and I have had, I like to think of it as yin and yang careers. You started off as a world-class footballer and became a broadcaster. I still think I'm going to play for the United States in years to come, right, Dave?
Yeah.
I mean, as long as you can, as long as you're fit and you can just run all day long, it apparently doesn't matter what you do. So,
I'm
yeah,
a fox in the
chance.
Box. I'm a fox in the box. So the reality is, like the two Bobbies, Dave and I both have an incredible ability to fake an English accent, which is, for all four of us, our only asset. Right, Dave?
Yeah, that's what they say.
But can you see a time in the future, envision with us, the future. In which the English Premier League is all American accents
Rogers.
All the time. All American accents all the time. Can you see that? Are you just the fifth column that's going to put all of us out of a job? I mean, sincerely, it's a very... Can you see a time... I mean, we should be out of a job pronto, but can you see a time when English Premier League will all be American, all Kyle Martino and your ilk?
No.
Okay. What is it like having hair? And can I run my fingers through it?
Yeah, go for it. Get on in there.
I want to know, Rebecca Lowe likes Palace.
Yeah.
Ollie White is Leicester. Absolutely wonderfully biased towards Leicester City.
Leicester.
Who has won Kyle Martino's affections?
Oh, come on.
And you can't say you've got no affections to anyone because you're human.
That's
you
my
have
answer.
Feelings. You have feelings. You have feelings.
Are you a blue? Everybody's a blue or a red. Are you a blue or are you a red?
Can I just answer that question?
Yeah.
I mean,
are you a yellow?
If I was forced, if the lights got hot and there was a weapon at my throat, I would say I'm a red.
A red with stripes? Or a solid red?
Not going any further.
Stoke. We found Stoke fan. We have found Stoke
I'm just
fan.
A big Josie fan. I just, oh. Josie.
Dare to Josie, America. Yeah. Still dare to Josie.
Come on. He's back.
He's in red. He's in red still.
He only had to be back here for 3 minutes. He's scoring goals for fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, this is what that was like.
Go on. Last question for me, Dave.
Yeah,
thank God.
We know that the Premier League is scripted by the Premier League script. Let's hear it for the Premier League scriptwriter.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
We know that you
Who
and
saw Harry leaving for that reason. Brilliant writing.
We know that you and Rebecca get to read the script.
Yeah.
Who wins the league this season?
Yeah.
And who gets the Champions League places?
Well, if Rebecca wrote the script, Palace and Kayla are carrying the trophy, flying it all the
Kayla's
way through.
Kayla's flying it across. That. Genius.
Who wins?
In the script.
I mean, this script is as obvious as a Michael Bay film. Shit's going to blow up. It's going to make no sense, and he's going to make a ton of money off of it. Chelsea's going to win the title.
2, 3, and 4.
We'll see.
The top four?
Yeah.
The top four, Chelsea City.
All four of them?
Yeah. Yeah. They're actually gonna play all of their teams.
Yeah, amazing. Love to see.
This is gonna get controversial. I need this. Is this attached?
Yeah.
And Arsenal.
In third?
In third.
That's a huge trophy.
Yeah.
Like, can't wait for Chris Christie just to be humping.
Oh, my God. Chris Christie.
And?
Southampton.
Liverpool. Thank you very much.
Andra. Thank you, everybody. Carl Martino. No Manchester United, no Tottenham, no Southampton.
No Southampton.
No West Ham.
By the way, who thinks Southampton's going to come in the top four?
No one.
That was...
I think they might.
That was Ronald Koeman.
I think they might. I think they might.
And please, God, if there's anything good in this world, let that happen. That's all I've got to cling on to.
Are you ready for our next guest?
Okay. Cheer me up.
Our next guest this evening was one of the breakout stars of Brazil 2014. One of the very few people who visited us in our closet. And while his World Cup performance didn't attract the attention of Manchester United, Real Madrid or Bayern Munich, it did inspire one of the summer's biggest hit songs. Here we go.
Paul Carr, blow your mind. Said Paul Carr, blows your mind.
Said Paul Carr, blows your mind. Said Paul Carr.
Go and hug the sick man, Paul Carr. And wipe yourself down when you leave the stage. Paul Carr, you've been a busy man.
I have.
We've always joked that your only friends in life are numbers.
That's true, to a point.
But you belied that truth.
People prefer prime ones.
Somehow, by becoming a father.
Wait a minute, are there two Paul Carrs? Are you an identical twin of some kind?
Technology's an amazing thing.
That is phenomenal. That congratulations.
That amazing. Baby's mother is a number seven.
Yeah. More of a 10, but sure.
I'm not getting into that. All I'll tell you, I'll just blow your mind with a counter stat. 3 out of 5 fathers are too self-involved and caught up in their own team fantasies about Dana Plato and Molly Ringwald. To be useful fathers, Paul Carr. Be part of the 40%, Paul. That's all I'll say. Be part of the 40%. All right, blow our mind, Paul, where was that?
All right. In Europe's top 5 leagues this season, so we're talking England, Spain, Germany, Italy, and France.
Yeah.
161 players have taken at least 35 shots. 160 of those 161 have scored a goal.
So, wait a minute. So, let's get this straight. There is a player somewhere in one of the great leagues of Europe who has taken 35 shots
right. And
has not scored a single goal.
That's correct.
Amazing.
Can we get a... If your mind is blowing, shout, Paul Carr.
Okay.
Mario Balotelli.
Hey!
I thought that was a Josie joke.
Define a shot. I can't believe he's taken 35 shots. Just falling over and accidentally hitting the ball with your shoulder count as a shot.
Maybe they have generous official scores.
Yeah. Amazing, amazing, amazing stat, Paul Carr.
Paul, you didn't impress the crowd, to be candid.
All right.
Come out the win number 2, Paul. He's got 3 chances to blow
your mind. I like that. Fact number 2.
All right, take 2. In the Premier League this season, players score on about 10% of their shots. So 1 out of every 10 shots is a goal. And that's pretty consistent over the years. Forwards score a little more often, as you would expect. They're a little better at putting the ball in the net. Mm-hmm. 12% of their shots are goals. But one player is scoring far above everyone else. Much higher rate.
His percentage. His field goal percentage.
28% of his shots have been goals. So nearly 3 times the league average.
Paul Carr. Blow our mind.
Diego Costa.
Yeah.
It's
Terribly misunderstood. Terribly misunderstood.
Paul, nice guy. Paul, that was underwhelming. Number three.
Okay.
Make it a good one.
Yeah.
Last chance saloon, my friend.
All right. It's 2015. There's a World Cup this summer.
Yeah.
The under 20s.
The World Cup.
The first six World Cup. Women's World Cups, 24 different nations participated.
Yeah.
Seven countries qualified for all six tournaments. Two reached the knockout round at all six tournaments. But only one has made the semifinals of all six.
Wow.
The United States of America!
I'll be honest, that doesn't blow my mind. That's just part and parcel of being world superpower, dominant number one nation in the world.
Yeah, it's very true.
So I'm about to blow your mind, Paul.
All right.
Uptown Funk, Bruno Mars. Does this sound like anything that you're familiar with?
Uptown Funk you up. Uptown Funk you up. Uptown Funk you up.
Uptown Funk you up.
I said Uptown Funk you up. Uptown funk you up.
Clearly stolen.
Uptown funk you up.
Clearly stolen.
Not just stolen. I say this is not. I'm not saying that Bruno Mars is stolen from Paul Carr, but I'd say Bruno Mars respects Paul Carr, wanted to honour Paul Carr, and has had his mind blown by Paul Carr, as do we on a daily basis, right, David?
Yeah, absolutely. Paul Carr, thank you very much. Paul Carr, he blew our mind. Very good job. Good job.
Bruno Mars is here in the audience. Thank you, Bruno.
Okay, one more guess before the golden
Bruno.
Blazer, Rog.
You're a bloody plagiarist, Bruno Mars.
One more guess before our golden blazer. We couldn't be more excited about who we're going to bring to the stage. Really. He's one of the NFL's elite physical specimens, and that is saying something, Rog. At 6'2" and 210 pounds... he can bench press and squat to twice his body weight. 420 pounds at 210. That's pretty amazing.
I've seen you do that.
As it turns out, he's our favorite breed of NFL athlete. He's a punter. Ladies and gentlemen, the poster boy for our Punters Are People Too campaign. From your hometown, New York Giants, Mr. Steve Weatherford.
I'm on my knees for those double D's. Why tell a lie? I am stupefied. I'm so happy when I look at them. Though I'm happier when I'm touching them. Symbolic of a good atmosphere. Complications need to just disappear.
That's my guy right there. Yeah. I'm sorry, I'm going to put that video on Instagram right now, so if you guys have a problem with it, I'm really sorry.
No, that's good. We'll need a few releases picked up, but it's going to be...
Giants in Hoboken a couple weeks ago.
I live there.
I know.
I've got a couple kids. I need a babysitter, but you're probably not at the top of my list.
Really is Instagramming right now as we speak. This is the digital world, Rog.
Yeah. When he sees his own nipples, he's got to put it on Instagram. Steve.
So how are we doing, guys?
We're doing all right. We're doing all right.
I thought Rog might have been about to lose his head at that point. It would have been amazing.
Most NFL stars we speak to are frustrated that they have to wear a helmet. Mm-hmm. You seem to be the odd NFL star who wishes they just didn't have to wear a shirt whatsoever.
But I get nervous. That's why I wore my sombrero tonight.
Because I know, appreciate
I was
it.
I was really honored when I got the invitation to come on the show. So I wanted to wear my tuxedo to show you how honored I am.
Respect.
But at the same time, I needed to wear my sombrero to let you know that I'm really here to party.
I thought it was like one of those dogs with the anti-scratching neck things on there just to make sure we keep our distance. But Few men I know seem to like exposing their nipples to the air more than you. Can you explain that feeling to a pair of self-loathing Englishmen with a body image problem?
So for you guys out there, pull your phones out, Google my name, and tell me how many pictures you go down before you see one that I'm actually in a football uniform. Because it's actually really embarrassing.
Which football soccer team do you support?
I love the footy. Started playing when I was 3 years old. And the only reason I stopped playing is I went to college to play football. So I actually didn't even play football until I was 15 years old. So my favorite team, I've always been a Thierry Henry fan. When he came to the Red Bulls, it was a very special day for me. So I'm a Red Bulls fan.
You also, I love it. Hang on.
You also
New York.
In England, who'd you like?
You know, I grew up just loving soccer in general. I didn't necessarily have a favorite team. Arsenal's always been a good one.
Nipples.
You know what? Who came and played in our stadium, and actually I got to kick some footies around with them, was Manchester City.
Wow.
Yeah, about 6 months ago during the season, they came to our practice. Practice got over, and then all the real players on the team went to meetings for offense and defense. I got to kick soccer ball around with the guys. It was great.
Okay, well, you bring up something that frankly bothers us.
Uh-huh.
We do not. We are frankly incensed at the NFL. We believe that there is institutional bias and prejudice against the kickers, the men who kick the football
in the trenches.
Yeah, in the trenches.
In the trenches with our soccer shoe.
So you call them the real footballers, but you're real footballers too. You contribute. Punting
yes.
is winning.
I digress. But meeting you in the green room and hearing your passion and your
punting.
Love for the punter.
It's the only reason I watch football.
Unbelievable. I really appreciate that
love
idea.
It. Reggie Roby.
That's not true. Kicking too.
Yeah,
kicking.
We love kicking. We love field kicking. Goal kicking. But if I had to choose, punting... Place kicking
Agreed.
Are ahead of field goal kicking for me.
Yeah.
And it was very generous of you to take Stefan Jovetic aside and teach him how to blast that ball way over the bar from all over the field.
Yeah.
I want to get back to your beautiful breast, Steve.
Yes. Back to my boobies.
Your boobies. Go. Your body is 5% fat.
Oh.
I think I've got your other 95% right here. You lost 117 pounds. In 4 years as a 14-year-old, just after your bar mitzvah.
You lost or gained?
I gained it.
Okay.
I was 108-pound 14-year-old freshman. And at about that time, I always loved sports. I was a decent athlete, but I was undersized, too small to really compete at an elite level. And I said, well, you know what? This is something I'm passionate about. I love it. So it was before the internet. I went to the library, learned about different training modalities, nutrition, and you know the ways to make gains, and I literally like slept in the weight room. And during the course of 4 years, by the time I graduated, I was 225. So I gained 117 pounds, and everybody in my hometown was like, "Oh, he's on steroids." But to me, that was like the greatest compliment anybody could ever give me, because I'm like, "Hey, you know, I doubled in size in
hey,
4 years."
Hey, Dad.
No, I swear to God, my dad came home from work one day, and one of the guys he works with. Came up to him and was like, hey, you know, I heard some rumors. I didn't know if your son maybe is taking something. So my dad actually asked me.
Wow.
I'm like, Dad, thank you, man. It's like the greatest compliment ever. Your own dad thinks
you're
juicy.
What I wanted to know is how did that affect your personality? Because I'm asking you as someone whose kind of size and weight have gone in completely the opposite direction. How did it affect who
you're?
So
you're growing out, not up?
Yeah, I mean, You're
still really
direction.
Handsome, though. And personality counts for a lot.
I've still got my hair. It counts for something. But it's like Gwyneth Paltrow sliding doors, you and my life. I want to know, sincerely, as a 14-year-old, to put on that much heft, how does that affect your sense of self?
I don't want to say I was shy, because I've always been outgoing. I've got ADHD really bad, if you guys couldn't notice. and for me, I wasn't necessarily shy, but... I had like little man syndrome because I was a little guy. And so I think what I lacked as an athlete was size and strength. And so really I kind of took that work ethic that it took me to get from 108 to 225, and I've still got that now, and I'm going to carry that, you know, past NFL football into life, and you know that intensity and drive to be the best that I can be. I mean, I'm a dad. I'm about to have my fourth kid, so
congratulations.
I bring that into that as well. You know, I mean, I just want to be the best I can be. I know that sounds cliche and generic and stuff, but honestly, I'd never be sitting on the stage if I wouldn't have made that decision to commit myself, you know, to be the best I can be, and I'm glad
so
I did.
So how does being your size, your level of fitness, your mm-hmm. level of body fat, your strength, how does that help you in punting the football? Because not all punters
For me,
like
a lot of people are like, you know, why do you don't have to have, you know, 18-inch arms and squat 400 pounds and this, that, the other. But for me, I do it for more than just football. I think, you know, from a physique standpoint, I think you're only as strong as your weakest link. And so I don't want to be a guy that says, hey, you know, I get paid to punt the ball with my legs, so I'm just going to work my legs. You know, and then if you're not, you're going to have muscular imbalances, you'll get injured. And plus, you know, being kind of jacked is fun.
You
know what I mean?
you
like, I'm looking forward to taking my shirt off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You take
it's a badge of honor because you can't buy that. It takes consistency, hard work, self-denial. You know, I miss out on a lot of stuff in life even now that I enjoy, like drinking Guinness beers.
Yeah.
You know, I don't get to
calories.
do as much as I'd like to do it.
Drink responsibly.
You know, because I've always had the motto that nothing tastes as good as being fit feels, and I feel great.
Yeah. That's beers amazing. Also really
remember
good.
That little man up front. Remember that. Don't drink beers.
I like
the guy's
protein
50,
shakes.
He's 54. It's Thomas Rozicki.
Benjamin Button.
Yeah.
You take 18 pills in the morning, every morning when you get out of bed.
A lot of those pills that I take.
Viagra.
I've got four kids, man. I don't need that.
And 16 placebos, right?
Is that no.
What are the other 16? Viagra,
the majority of the pills that I take in the morning, eight of them are... freeze-dried vegetables like kale and spinach and all this other weird stuff. But I get all the vegetables I need for the day right after breakfast. So I eat my breakfast, I take eight of those pills, and then the other pills that I take are like krill oil and fish oil and astaxanthin, like things that are just good for your health.
I'll tell you, White Castle listen to this. They're going to start doing
Percocets
a pill.
And Vicodin, yeah!
Hey, Steve, I have a question.
Shoot it.
Wait a minute. We've received a raven.
from your babysitter.
Yeah.
I am.
You may answer the raven.
I love Tom Coughlin. There's no man that I've ever met in my life that I have more admiration for, and it's not just what he has done for the franchise as a coach and winning world championships. Just the guy he is, the motivator he is. I mean, he's the only guy in that franchise that beats me into work every day. I mean, he's in the weight room working out at 5 a.m. every day. It's impressive.
Wow.
And he's 67 years old.
Okay, last question.
I did love Rex, too, though. But he,
last question
he
for
had
me,
a lot
Rog.
Of, he had a lot of these.
So we are thinking of calling a conclave of the NFL kickers and punters in New York before the kickoff of the season. A conclave. It's where we assemble all the important minds and bodies of the NFL's premier punting and kicking elite. And we bring you into New York City to truly honor you and understand the game of football and kicking a football through your eyes. Are you in? The conclave of the NFL kickers and punters.
I was in when you said conclave.
I love it.
Yes.
We wish to pay our respects.
You had me at conclave.
He thought you meant conclave was an exploratory tour to White Castle or In-N-Out Burger.
Is that some kind of like new supplement, conclave?
No, but we can make it.
You're a man who often has to punt out of his own end zone with 11 men who are determined to decapitate you at their first opportunity. How do you suppress fear?
I think a serious answer would be, you know, I think in order for you to consider yourself an expert, you have to do something for 10,000 hours. I far exceeded that. And I think once you prepare yourself for anything in life, if you work as hard as you can in preparing yourself up into the moment of opportunity, you don't get nervous because you know you've done everything up until that point to be ready for it. And so in my mind, if I fail, I fail. I know I did everything up until that point to prepare myself for it. But yeah, I mean, there's when you've got guys at 6'8", 290 pounds that are screaming at you from about 14 yards away, it is a little unnerving.
I mean, 10,000 hours, I'm very good at doing the gaseous noises under arm.
You could consider yourself an armpit farter expert.
But when you played in the NFL for 9 years,
mm-hmm.
when Ted Ginn Jr. breaks coverage and mm-hmm. returns one of your punts 71 right. yards.
Thanks for reminding me.
Do you still shit your pants?
Well, actually,
I guess that's what I'm trying
previous to that happening, 6 days before that, I tore four ligaments in my ankle. So when he broke through, I was just like, I appreciate it. I like that guy, man.
Okay, you get a raise.
You can't babysit my kids, but I will drink Guinness with you.
You got a raise.
But when he broke through, I knew I wasn't running. So I was just kind of like, see you later, man. Enjoy the end zone dance.
You sound very much like Gareth Barry in the way he plays football. When the returner does break a tackle, we've been spent a lot of time recently going deep with a lot of punters.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about a lot of the trash talk they get.
Yeah.
But when they do make a tackle, mm-hmm. when they, on the rare occasion, they make it, do you trash talk the person you brought down?
100%.
You say, you've just been tackled 100%. By a punter.
My first ever NFL punt was against the Tennessee Titans when Pac-Man Jones was there. And I was with the Saints. I punted it 52 yards right on the sideline. And as he started to come full circle up the sideline, I'm like, oh, man, I think I might have to tackle him. So long story short, he forearmed me, and he had, like, fingers up my nose inside my face mask. I got him down. And then the whole, like, next 6 days up until his next game, they were, like, gunning him really hard in the media, how he got tackled by a punter. So I actually didn't even have to talk. I was, like, crapping my pants because it was my first game ever. So even before I punted it, I was already soiled myself. But after I tackled him, I'm like, oh, man, I just tackled Pac-Man Jones. You know what I mean? He got hammered in the media for, like, a week.
The fingers up the nose inside the face mask thing, that's how I felt when I sat by Kyle Martino right now.
So Pac-Man Jones actually picked my boogers.
Is that ability to confront fear and deal with it, is that what made you an Arsenal fan?
Touche.
Can I ask you one question? You love the World Cup. You were an incredible soccer player. You were like American Andy Carroll. When you watch the World Cup, is a part of you that wishes you had stayed with the football and not gone into the NFL because you could have charged against those Portuguese and done them?
Yeah. I love soccer. Soccer was my first love. I still love it. I wasn't good enough to play professionally. You know, and I actually don't think I'm good enough to punt professionally. They just haven't figured that out yet.
Last question for
me. Hopefully my secret is safe with you guys because I've got a lot of kids and I got bills to pay.
Last question for me because you're a very honest man. When I think of Arsenal fans, I think of Chris Christie.
You seen that clip, that YouTube viral clip of him falling out of his chair before he went to the radio station? I literally have seen that 100 times, and I cry every time. And I like Chris Christie. I mean, it's like hugging a stick of butter, but I like him.
Funny enough, they've not shown that clip on Fox News, and that's all I watch. But when I think of Chris Christie, and I think of you, Steve, I see you as, like, in my own dull, little, simple, low IQ imagination, as the before and after in a infomercial for weight loss.
So I actually talked to Chris Christie. I did some charity work in New Jersey and became friendly with him. And when he was, like, prepping for his candidacy before the George Washington Bridge deal, he was looking to get in shape. And I was like, I think that was, like, the one thing that was holding him back before the George Washington Bridge.
Really,
and he was holding it hostage. But anyway, he wanted to get in shape, and I was actually going to, like, personally train him. And then the whole bridge thing happened. But for the most part, he's done a pretty good job. Hey, I'm an Arsenal fan too. What do you want me to say?
He's made Arsenal fans feel way better about Piers Morgan.
Awesome Wenger. Awesome Wenger for president.
Yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, Steve Weatherford. Thank you very much.
Good. Oh, God, sitting by him, I gotta tell you, it's... Whew. I would love to see Steve Weatherford in an Arsenal jersey. No! It would be like 97% body mass nipple.
Okay, producer John Johnson.
Let's hear it for John Johnson. Sorry, Tony Award winning John Johnson.
Yeah. What song is about to be performed and by whom?
I think the writer is here in attendance tonight. It's an MLS. The parody of It's a Hard Knock Life from Annie.
Oh.
His name is Scott.
Are you here tonight, Scott?
Okay.
Where are you, Scott? Over there. Can we send this gentleman a Guinness? You get to take home this beautiful Xbox from EA Sports, FIFA. Gorgeous game. I've got to tell you, I don't know what you do professionally, but you should be writing for... Why the hell are you not singing this yourself? We had to pay four people to come on and sing your crap.
Okay, so it's an MLS now.
It's an MLS for us. It's an MLS for us. Lots of trophies. Nope, just one. Plus a shield. It's not dumb. It's an MLS. Got no Ballon d'Or, guys, so it's to older blokes we go. Stevie Gerrard, yep, like him. English muffin, got to trim. It's an MLS. Don't you feel like your coach is always growling when you can't seem to score a stinking goal? Then you come over here and crowds are howling. It's enough to bring a smile to your soul. No one's there for the U.S. Open Cup games. It's a trophy, your nostrils even real. Jurgen wants you to play near the River Thames, but you need to afford your family's meals. Oh, starting squad we never see. Over here a star I'll be. No one cares for us at all, 'cause we're not great on the ball. It's an MLS. Yes, it is. It's an MLS. Yes, it is. It's an MLS.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Ethan Carlson, Ian Fairley, Daniel Yearwood, and Corey Jarcoma. And on the piano was Brad Gardner. Well done, boys. Okay, Rog, we are getting near the sharp end getting the tingling. Our next guest, Rog, is the first, and at this point, the only recipient in the history of the Golden Blazer. He's a man whose contribution to football in this country is so large, it cannot be quantified, even by Paul Carr. And while his facial hair had a prior engagement with the baseball commissioner, believe they were having the early bird special at Applebee's up there in Connecticut, it prevents him from being here tonight. He did send us a video message.
Raj and Davo and GFOPs, great friends of the pod. It is a pleasure to be, I am not properly attired. I am not a full kit wanker. I've got to put it on. Hold on just a second. Hold on. Where is it? It's been taken out of storage. Thank you. Until this moment, the only one of its type. Last worn at Town Hall on Broadway back in May. Now we can talk about what a year it was. Hanging with you guys in Rio in the panic room into which you graciously appended my name. What a marvelous World Cup we've seen. What a great premier season we've had so far. And we are approaching that moment tonight at the High Line that will be historic in nature when a second one of these will be bestowed and awarded. I wish I could be with you there in person. I can only imagine what's going on tonight and what will happen through the evening afterwards. But I know the honoree will be totally deserving of this. And so enough of Nigel, enough of Chelsea, and by the way, Davo, I don't think they've got the stuff to hang on. I think City will make a run here. On with the festivities. Thank you for honoring me with this, and the best of luck as you continue and honor another award winner tonight in New York. Thank you.
To be fair to Bob, he recorded that right after the Tottenham game.
Davo, I think ISIS did a pretty good job producing that video. I gotta say.
By the way, that's the kind of darkness which usually gets cut from the pod. Usually, usually gets cut.
I love that. No, that's like when that's like the role when Miss Universe normally talks about a year, how it's changed by becoming Miss Universe. It's like Bob Lee is eerily like Miss South Carolina talking about education and Iraq, David. But can we just hear it for Bob Lee? I'll just say, as two young, innocent, wannabe broadcasters making their way in the big bad world of broadcasting, Bob Lee is a soldier poet and is a guide star and an inspiration. And for anyone who truly loves football, that guy is the man. So we are honoured to know him.
Yeah.
And we miss him terribly.
And who truly loves sport. Okay, Rog, the reason we're all here tonight, it is time for the Golden Blazer
the
presentation. Can we get a drum roll, please? Okay, that was good. You might not be able to hear me. Go ahead. Okay, as coat presentations go, it falls somewhere between the Masters and the end of Joseph and the amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat. It's a gift we give to an individual who's dedicated their life, to building the sport we love in the country that we love. This year, when we convened with Bob Lee at the conclave of the Golden Blazer, we looked at the football, at the soccer landscape, in this country. And this being a World Cup year, not the men's World Cup, but the real World Cup, we decided that the Golden Blazer had to go to one of the country's female soccer pioneers. Rogie.
As a player, she was an artful mix of skill and thunder. To me, watching her, she was competitive drive personified. Above all, more than anything, she was a great American leader. And as a broadcaster, which is something you don't get to see, I mean, at home, you don't get to see. She acts on set. She's the gel that binds everybody
and
makes everybody look better. And we're a weird bunch of dudes, I gotta tell you. She does the hard work that makes everyone look absolutely wonderful. So what I'd ask is, because it's very moving to both of us in a very sincere way, in a way it wasn't last year. Let's welcome to the stage a 272-capped international midfielder, a former captain of the US national team, who are twice World Cup winners, twice Olympic gold victors, one of the most successful footballers this country has ever birthed, and that includes Steve Nipples, your 2015 Golden Blazer winner. Please be upstanding and welcome to the stage, Super Julie Foudy. Think of this as a 1999 themed bar mitzvah. Oh, Julie.
Can we get a picture of Steve back up there, please?
Yeah, whoa. Amazing, right?
Whoa. I almost missed it. I was chatting with Kyle and Paul, and all of a sudden, all the women were like, the picture is up!
They were both disappointed. Cause...
Oh. No, it's John Johnson. It wasn't Weatherfield.
Thank you. Oh, that's kind.
I thought you'd
Thanks,
never
John.
Ask.
Yeah.
Cheers.
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 Oh, to Cheers. A golden Super blazer to be.
Woo! She's going to get emotional. Cheers.
Comes in cans and bottles. Cheers. Sorry, excuse me.
I was just admiring my bottle.
I was just admiring.
These are your people.
By the way, you? Paul Carr and Kyle both thought they were getting the golden blazer. That's how we got them here. Anyway, I loved watching you as a player, Rowdy Fowdy.
Thank you.
July 10th, 1999. I remember that day well, for one reason and one reason only. I had all my own hair. There was a sold-out crowd.
Yeah.
Kind of like tonight.
More than 90,000 people. Rose Bowl, Pasadena, California. 40 million Americans were watching the game live. The Star Spangled Banner, one of the most beautiful songs not written by Culture Club, was playing pre-game. Do you remember what was going through your mind?
I was so excited because the Hanson Brothers were singing.
You were excited
them.
About all three of them or just the good-looking one?
I loved them. And then the Blue Angels flew over. It was quite emotional, though, because that moment always for a player when they play the national anthem, and especially when you're standing there in the final moment, I remember actually thinking on the field, like, hold it together. You cannot go out there sobbing. That's not a good start to the match.
But it's not the Hanson Brothers. They've got a future.
You're a box-to-box player. That's how I always like to think about you,
nice
Julie
you,
Fowdy.
Dave,
a box, like a Steven Gerrard 25 years ago in his prime. A box-to-box kind of a player. What were the qualities that made you such a successful footballer, soccer player?
It certainly was not speed. But I did have an engine.
You never stopped running.
I had a great engine. I was a good little runner. I think actually the most important quality I had is I would rip someone's head off to get a ball, or rip someone's head off competitively in practice. And I talk to girls all the time about that, because with women especially, it's, oh no, you got to be nice to Sally, you got to be nice to Jane. And sometimes we don't let that competitive spirit just come through. And I think that was the common denominator on that team.
It's amazing
fire.
To hear that, because you are one of the nicest people really? I've ever met in broadcasting.
It's
you're
just
genuinely one of the and really behind
I'm
the
really
scenes, you're ripping people,
scenes, yeah.
ripping people's heads off. That's amazing.
You've obviously never done a urine test with Julie.
Yeah.
There's an amazing film. I take my research. I'm a method actor, method researcher.
Yeah.
There's an amazing film you made, The 99ers, about that experience. There's great footage that I loved of you all the 99ers taking urine samples, and you all came out of the bathroom competing to see who could produce the most urine.
Bring this! Beat this!
There's an amazing, like, the ones that came out with nothing were like defeated and shattered and broken by that, and then there were girls coming out. It's a frightening scene. Watch the movie. Because it is a beautiful movie, and I do believe in a funny way, the 99ers, we love them when there's a Women's World Cup year, but we don't fully appreciate how they transform the game. I mean, researching this, I was blown away. In the 1980s, there wasn't even really a US women's national team. They just chose the 11 on paper.
Exactly. And they just said, you're on this honorary team. The very first national team that Mia was on and Christine Lilly was on, Carla Overbeck, which is another name from the past, Joy Fawcett, Brandi Chastain, that very first team was a 1987 team when we were all on a youth under 19 national team. And we ended up doing better than the full women's national team. And the coach of the full women's national team at the time, Anson Doran, said, hey, can you come to China? I didn't even know what a U.S. national team was. I was like, no, I got to go home. I've been on the road too long. I don't want to go. But that was our first introduction to the U.S. team, because there was really no such thing, which is crazy, in 87.
So did you have a female soccer player to look up to? Did you have a role model, or you had a male soccer player, or is it just some other kind of female athlete?
You know, like my male role models, because back then too, you couldn't watch much soccer on TV.
Yeah.
Like you can now, you can catch 10 games a day.
Yeah, any moment.
Yeah, any moment. And back then it was, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, you know, like 8-foot-tall guys I would never emulate, or 300-pound linemen on the Los Angeles Rams. We had a football team back then in Los Angeles. So that was the kind of people I would try to emulate, but never any women.
Wow.
And certainly not soccer players.
You got $10 a day when you first started to play for the U.S., and this is how transformational when I read your story.
Rod, you did your research. I'm really proud of you.
It always does.
I adore Julie Foudy and your story. I do. I as much as I love your story and as much as it's well-known, I honestly, I didn't mean to say this tonight, I don't think it's fully appreciated how much you and the rest of the 99ers did transform the game. You got given $10 a day. You got given a kind of rain jacket, which you were excited to get. You stayed in worse hotels than the males' youth team.
Yes. And they were a lot of roaches and a lot of warm Pepsi.
And they were staying in hotels you had to pay for by the hour. But suddenly, you're playing in a game. The world is watching. There's 40 million Americans. You win. It's glorious. There's the great symbolic transformation of the winning penalty, Brandi Chastain.
Yeah.
And you must have like high-fived and said, we've changed this, we've done this. There's been 3 women's leagues since then. The third one is in its third year. The other two failed in their third year. Are you frustrated by where the women's league has gotten in terms of the level of change?
Yeah. When actually the very first Women's World Cup in 91, which we won, we came back from China and we thought, oh, this will, because it was such a big deal in China, 80,000 for the final. The Chinese were trying to prove they could host a big event. So they went all out and packed stadiums. Everywhere you went, you were like rock stars. We came back to the United States. No one knew that we won the World Cup.
Crickets.
Yeah, crickets. Yeah. 2 people at the baggage claim, and it was our bus driver and the Tom Meredith, who was like the ops guy for U.S. soccer. And so when we got to 99, we thought, okay, now we're at the moment. Now we've caught the attention of you know, the U.S. and the world, and we can transcend beyond just being a pretty good soccer team. But the challenge, I think, in this country is there's just so many sports. There's so many things that people can go to, and it's expensive, as we all know, to put on a league. We see how hard it has been for MLS, but I think we're getting there. I'm frustrated that it's taken 3 iterations because I think there is a fan base there and I think there is interest, but it's taken longer than we had hoped. The good news is we've got U.S. soccer behind this one, which I hope they had gone in before, earlier. We wouldn't be maybe in that third iteration if that had happened earlier. So I think this one actually is posed to be quite successful.
Women's World Cup this summer. The World Cup.
The. Thank you.
This summer. So, you've got to be excited. You've got to be excited about this squad. There's been some controversy around the tournament, about the fields that they're playing on, certainly recently with Hope. But let's talk about what we're excited to go and see before we talk about some of those issues.
Alex Morgan. She's pretty good. She's pretty hot, huh? That's what we get. Can you tell me? I get that a lot. Can you tell me about that, Alex Morgan? It's usually from, you know, the 15 to 25-year-old.
Same people that like Olivier Giroud.
I think Alex is actually the key component. Mm. You obviously have, you know, Hope Solo and Abby Wambach, and Abby's in her mid-30s now, Christy Rampone, the captain. But if Alex can be healthy... They're a totally different team because she stretches teams. She's fast. She's got pace. They were just playing. I'm actually heading to France tomorrow to call the game on Sunday. And they were playing France in June, right? First game, Alex Morgan, and who's just come back from this long injury. They played him this summer. First game, you know, we beat him 1-0, but it was scrappy. It was ugly. Alex Morgan comes into the second game, and she's the only one who can stretch him. And that's what she brings to the team. And that is why I think Abby Wambach has taken off as a scorer, because she was at like 108 when she broke her leg in 2008. Mia was at 158. I thought no one would ever beat Mia's record. And then Alex Morgan came into the picture, and all of a sudden the game opens up and the
more
field
space.
Opens up.
Yeah, it's exponential.
And she takes so much attention away from the other forwards. So
how much do you 99ers interact with the current team?
How much
do you 99ers interact with the current team? Are there certain players that you have a great relationship with, and what do you tell them?
You know, I actually reached out to a few at the end of this year, and I said that I really love, because there's about half that have overlapped with our playing, or somehow we already knew, so you already interact with those half. But I reached out to a couple of players at the end of the year. I had this epiphany, and I thought, you know, I have not done a good enough job with these two players who I really respect and like, of mentoring them and reaching out to them. And so
one's Kyle Beckerman. Who's the other one?
I did reach out to Kyle. Julian Green.
Yeah. Julian, come on, Julian.
Yeah.
Good, Julian.
What's going on with Julian Green?
Bar mitzvah's hard. It's a difficult. You're disoriented. You're a man, but you're not a man. It's hard.
So a player you mentioned earlier, Hope Solo. Hope Solo is a fantastic athlete. Hope Solo is the greatest female goalkeeper, I believe, produced by any country in the world ever. Do you get a little bit frustrated at the coverage of Hope Solo? Because I sometimes feel as though a male athlete would not get the same attention that Hope does because of she's sort of breaking a sort of the idea that women, as you mentioned earlier, women have to be sort of really nice to each other and female athletes have to be squeaky clean because she's not squeaky clean.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was just having this debate recently among people within ESPN, and we were saying, is it a consequence where you don't see it as much with women, right? You see, I think, that type of behavior a lot more with male athletes. That's nothing new to the. I mean, look at Terrell Owens, look at even Kobe Bryant back in the day. You could go through a list. Even Michael Jordan at some stages.
All three of them crapping goat.
Yeah.
But is it a consequence of character, or is it lack of coverage? We don't see as many women doing it because women's sports don't get the coverage, or is it that just women aren't maybe wired that way? And I actually think that it's that women, to your point, we tend to be very communal, and their team chemistry is a big thing. And, you know, I remember Hope Solo once said to me, like, that whole bullshit about team chemistry with you guys, like, really? You know, and I was like, what? That's a very male trait, in not necessarily in a bad way, right? But so I do think it's different. I don't think you see it as much with women. So because of that, because we're so used to getting along and being communal and having this great team,
it becomes remarkable.
It becomes a remarkable story, and everyone wants to talk about it. And especially because it's a repetitive cycle.
I know you want them to win very badly with every atom of your being, but is there a tiny part of the 99ers that are a bit like the 1972 Miami Dolphins? They're kind of like...
That was a brilliant impression of the 1972 Miami Dolphins.
I've never done my Larry Zonka live on stage before. It's okay.
Raj, can I get that again, please?
Well, the Larry Zonka. I mean, it's a part of you that, like, a tiny, tiny, weeny little part of you that is like, That was my Larry Zonka also.
What was your question again?
Roger's question is, are you rooting against them, or are you rooting against them just a little bit? That's usually a Roger. That would be the Roger question.
The U.S. team?
Yeah.
No, because their success is our success here in the United
Agreed.
States.
Agreed. Right, you know, answer. Correct.
So, next question. I want to know, as someone that has achieved very little in his own life, and speaking on behalf of masses of Americans and every English person, how often does 1999 come to mind? Like, is it something you think about every day? Is it like you're just sitting there pouring out cereal or like doing something amazing, like saving the world or whatever?
You mean like the World Cup?
Yeah, does 1999 come to mind? Every day do you high-five yourself? Or does it just recede into the background now that you live a life that's filled with
Tariqa? How often do you say it to your husband to end an argument?
Excuse me, honey, do you...
Yeah, I won the 1991 World Cup.
Do you need me to remind you about July 10th?
Now you follow Tariqaism as it just blended into the background.
No, I don't ever really think about it.
I do.
Thank you. You know, I don't... No, I mean, I think it's nice. It happened a long time ago. And what is astonishing to me, though, is that the U.S. hasn't won it since 99, when you look at the World Cup. Yeah. I mean, we've won a lot of the Olympics, but it's going to be 16 years this summer. It's a lot of years.
Well, let's help jog your memory with this Oscar-nominated piece of brilliance that may help as an aide de memoir. Let's watch this.
Oh, dear.
They play soccer by day and fight crime by night. They are the baddest mamas on the planet.
Take that jab, turkey. Right on.
Foudy and Chastain. Brought to you by Bud Light, a proud sponsor of the U.S. Women's National Soccer Team.
You chicks are bad.
Yeah, we're bad.
Real bad.
Take that jab, turkey.
I'm gonna develop that.
By the way, do not... All I say is drink responsibly. But I read an article from you in 1999, late in the year, when you told the journalist that you were shocked just by how much mail you were getting from prisoners. Which I think of as a natural fan base for women's football. The penitentiary audience. What exactly did they write to you about?
You know the best, too, about... Where's Kyle? Kyle, do you get inmate fan mail?
Oh, of course he does.
Inmate hate mail. It says on the outside, like, where they are an inmate. It says on the return address. So you know it's coming from, you know, this jail cell.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we got another. No, it's good stuff, usually.
Well, this will... Well, so this is going to be a big night in prisons and penitentiaries all across this great land, Julie.
I want to ask you one more question before we bestow the thing. I read one of your favorite quotes, Billie Jean King.
Oh, yeah?
Do you remember what it is?
No. Oh, I do know what it is. Thank you. Pressure is a privilege.
Yes.
We have a lot of young listeners who listen to this show. What advice do you have for our young audience tonight about how they should approach not just their own sporting life, but their own life in general, in the same way as Billie Jean King inspired you?
Raj, you're beautiful.
I wrote to you for so long from a prison cell. Never got a return.
I gotta get emotional, Raj.
Yeah.
For those young listeners out there. No, I think the thing I always talk to young kids about is something we lived with the national team that I actually miss the most. Whenever people say, you know, your greatest memories with the team, they think we're going to talk about an Olympics or a World Cup or 99. And I said, my greatest memories is wherever we went, there was laughter. We would take over bars. We'd be up here singing karaoke, the national anthem by the end of the night. It was just this
fighting
fun,
crime.
Fighting crime, jab turkeys.
Yeah.
So it was just this joy of what we were doing and playing with this great passion and yet respect for the game. And we wanted to grow it, and we wanted to grow it for young girls who, you know, we wanted them to know there was an opportunity for them out there. And so that's the thing I say to young kids, because I think that's so lost in the sport today, is this joy of just playing and giggling and being with your teammates and working your asses off. But at the same time, you know, remembering it's just a sport and let's have fun with it.
I like listening to Tony Pulis.
So, Julie Foudy,
yes,
you
Steve-o.
Were a phenomenal footballer.
Thank you.
You've achieved so much. You've given so much. You know I think this about you. You are an outstanding broadcaster. An outstanding broadcaster.
We learned that firsthand.
Yeah, absolutely. Superb
You're
broadcaster.
You're the only one that would talk to us.
You make something which is so difficult to do look so simple. You are the glue in the middle of all those guys and many difficult characters. You
My
made
little
it
mermaids
work.
Up
yeah, Little Mermaids,
wall.
Me and Rog. And through it all, you are such a phenomenal human being. I don't believe any of the other stuff. I'll never believe it. You're a phenomenal human being. And for those reasons, we are delighted that you are the second recipient
Thank you.
Of this gorgeous blazer.
Oh, there it is.
Please rise. Come to the front of the stage.
Wow, you know what? I'm going to...
by the power that is bestowed on Roger and I from Bob Lay, the winner of the 2015 Golden Blazer for life, ladies and gentlemen, Julie Foudy. Looks good. Looks good. Oh, selfie. Obligatory selfie. Okay, here we go. You may make a very short speech before you're played off by the Men in Blazers band.
This is a great honor, and of course, yellow is not really my color, but thank you. I get a little olivey jaundicey, but
I look like I've got hepatitis when I wear yellow.
Most importantly, to you all who have been great supporters of U.S. soccer and soccer in this country, thank you for caring as much as you do. And for spreading the love, because even though we were in Rio and at the World Cup and we didn't get to see it from home, it's amazing because you could feel it from there. You could feel it with the American Outlaws that were out there. You could feel it, with the support back here in this country. So thanks so much for caring as much as you do about this great sport. And thanks to you too.
We got one last question. Will the U.S. win the World Cup in 2015?
Hell yes! Oh. Come on, Raj!
Ladies and gentlemen, Julie Foudy!
Thank you!
I got to tell you, Julie Foudy says we're going to win the World Cup in 2015. If you believe that's true, can you just say very quickly, yes?
Yes! I believe!
Can you just say, Stephen Naismith?
Yes!
Oh, I like that.
A little less enthusiasm.
I've had a dream for the past couple of weeks that they will win. They beat France in the final, funnily enough. It's an amazing game. Louisa Nesib scores too early for France in the second minute.
Oh, she always does that.
Megan Rapinoe equalises. And then in the 90th minute... Kyle Becker woman. Jill Ellis looks down the bench and gives a nod to Michelle Akers. She says it's time. She comes home, pokes a winner. Three stars will shine. It is known. Hear it again for Julie Foudy.
Okay, Rog. Before I pass out again, I'm starting to see the light. My grandfather is calling me.
Come back.
From
say goodbye to Grandpa. So you've got to come back to me, David.
What an incredible night. We're going to bring back the Men in Blazers Quartet. Give them a round of applause. A very patriotic song, Rog. It's called The Star Spangled Blazer. It is penned by Lynchburg, Virginia's own David Hagerman. Ladies and gentlemen, the Star Spangled Blazer.
Jose, can you see our sin's tide taking flight? And how proudly we hailed at Landon's vast bald head gleaming. All the pies, and the day will be sized. Through the World Cup we watched Beckerman's red lock streaming, and Alexi's red hair, jazz hands bursting in. So glad that our Guinness is there. Jose, does that star-spangled blazer yet flap? O'er the land of Bob Lee and the home of the crab.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Men in Blazers Quartet. Okay, so finally, a few thank yous. Thank you, John Johnson, Tony Award winning producer.
Producing the Larry David project, which currently needs a lot of help on Broadway.
Thanks to you to producers JW and Lexi.
And by the way, thank you to the Colonel and to the Tannenholtzes who are all here tonight, the
yes,
parents.
Yes, absolutely.
Just say, I just want to hear that. It does make me tear up. There's not a day I don't get out of bed and thank God that I live in America. So I just want to thank America. I love Yentl, I love Scarface. Both Devo and I love living here.
Most of all, we want to thank you. We couldn't be more moved, touched, blown away, inspired, engaged with how you inspire us to go and put on our crap suboptimal TV show, podcast, digital content on a daily basis. It's mind-blowing that you come out and listen to this crap.
Many of you have traveled from across the country to be with us tonight.
Thank you.
We are blown away. We are going to go and raise a glass of Guinness with you at this place. The address is soon to come on.
Brass Monkey.
I know it's cold. It's a great night to have a good old cuddle and to talk about everything that is great about this country and about this country's love of football. Thank you to each and every one of you for coming out. Thanks to my in-laws who keep coming to these shows, even though they understand one out of every 27 words that are spoken. America, we love you. GFOPs, we love you. Can we hear it again for Julie Foudy, the Golden Blazers? Can we hear it for Kyle Martino? Can we hear it for Paul Carp?
Can we hear it for Steve Weatherford?
He makes me want to be a better man.
Thanks, everybody. Thank you.
Good night.